Okay, so the sefer is called Ma'at Min Ha'or. It's a collection of Torahs from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This particular piece is from a sicha that the Rebbe shared in 1964. Okay, and it's a very fundamental piece, and it addresses one of the great machloksim of Jewish history. Okay, what does it say at the beginning of our parsha? It says that when the Kohen Gadol performs the Avodas Yom Kippurim, so in many ways the centerpiece of that Avoda is when he goes into the Kodesh Kadashim and offers the Ketores. Okay? What does that look like? So if you just look at the bottom of page 1, the second to last paragraph, HaTorah Kosevis, V'lekach melo ha-machta gacha le'ish, me'alam izbeach me'lefnei Hashem. He takes a pan of hot coals from the Mizbeach, umelo chafnav ketores samim daka, and he fills his hands with incense, finely ground. Vehevi mi beis laparoches, and he goes behind the wall, behind the curtain, into Kodesh Kadashim. Vinasan esa ketores ala eish lefnei Hashem, and he burns the incense by placing it upon the fiery coals in the pan before Hashem. V'chisa anana ketores esa kaporas asher ala eidos. And the cloud of the Ketores will cover over the Kapores, the cover of the Aron, which is over the Luchos. And the Pasuk ends, V'lo Yamus. In other words, he goes into Kodesh Kadashim, and then he creates like this cloud of Ketores, almost concealing him from the holiness that he's in the presence of. There's a lot to talk about in terms of what exactly the imagery of the Ketores is. But the big machlokas that permeated the Second Temple period during Bayis Sheni, the machlokas between the traditional Orthodox Jewish community, the Torah community, the Chachmei Yisrael, and the Tzedukim, how exactly does the Kohen Gadol perform this avodah? A big, big machlokas between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Tzedukim. Turn to the second page. Again, what did the Pasuk say? Pasuk said that he places the Ketores al ha'esh lifnei Hashem. So what does that sound like? It sounds like the Kohen Gadol walks into the Kodesh Kadashim. He's balancing a hand full of incense and holding this pan which has hot coals on it. Okay? That itself was a very complicated avoda. How does he juggle all of that? And then the Torah says, V'nasan esa Ketores al ha'esh lifnei Hashem. So when does he actually place the incense on the fire, creating the cloud of smoke? Presumably, lifnei Hashem means in the Kodesh Kadashim. So he writes here, Mipsukim Elu, third line on page 250, on the second page. Mipsukim Elu, from these psukim, Mikach sha'atorah koseves v'nosan esakatoras ala esh lifnei Hashem. And the fact that it says you place the incense on the fire before Hashem, Lamdu Chachmei Yisrael, this is the traditional Orthodox position, Sha'kohen Sarech La'aniach HaSakhtores Al Gach Le'esh, that where does the Kohen place the incense upon the fiery coals? Kasher Hu Omei Lefnei Hashem, when he's standing before Hashem. Bisoch Kodesh HaKadashim. He doesn't walk in with the incense already burning on the fiery pan. He walks into the room. He comes in with all of the ingredients, so to speak. And then he prepares the dish before Hashem. Ach ha-tzadukim savru, but the tzadukim. However, the minhag is that between the weeks of Pesach and Shavuos, we begin to learn Pirkei Avos. On Shabbos afternoon, we study Pirkei Avos. And in Pirkei Avos, in the first parak, we meet someone by the name of Antignos Ish Socho. Do you remember what Antignos Ish Socho said? Who knows what Antignos Ish Socho said? Antignos Ish Socho said in the third Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Antignos Ish Socho kibel mishimon atzadik, who aya omer, al tihiyu ka'avadim ha-meshamshin es harav al-manas le-kabel pras. Antignos Ish Socho said, don't be like a person who serves God for a prize. Don't be like a servant who serves the master for a reward. Elahevu ka'avadim ha-meshamshin es harav sholo al-manas le-kabel pras. But rather serve Hashem, what we would call lishma. Don't do it for the reward. V'yihi moreh shamayim aleichem. That's what it says in Pirkei Avos. And let the fear of heaven be upon you. Antignos Ish Socho had two students. One was named Sadok and one was named Baitus. And they became the founders of movements called the Tzedukim and the Baitusim. And part of the problem, as explained by Chazal, is that they didn't understand what their Rebbe was saying. What did Antigno say? Did Antigno say there's no reward for doing mitzvahs? That there's no olam haba? Not at all. He said, don't focus on it. But the Tzedukim and the Baitusim developed an attitude that what? That there's nothing really beyond this world. That was one of their terrible mistakes. And they began to pervert a variety of Torah ideas. The students of Antignos Yishsocha, who misunderstood the Rebbe, developed all sorts of funny ideas. We often associate the Tzedukim in our mind with the Karaim, with the Karaites, who also had sometimes very literal, precise interpretations of Torah, which were not in accordance with the tradition, Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay? So the Tzedukim had many classic machloksim during Bayesheni with the Chachmei Yisrael, with the traditional Orthodox camp of Torah scholars. And one of their big machloksim was this week's Parsha, and its ramifications for Yom Kippur, how do you do the Ketores? So we just learned the Frum way to do the Ketores. The Frum way to do the Ketores is what? The Kohen goes in, he's holding this hot pan, this pan with this shovel, this pan with fiery coals from the Mizbeach. He goes into Kodesh Kadashim, he puts down the pan, and then he places the Ketores, we'll see how, he places the Ketores upon the pan. However, Achatzadukim savru sheyesh laniach hasaktores lifnei hechniso kodesh hakadoshim. The tzedukim were of the opinion that what? You prepare it outside, you put the incense on the hot coals, mibachutz, and then you walk into kodesh kadoshim. Rak achirei shamachta mala oshon bachutz, after the pan starts to smoke on the outside, then a kohen nichnas ita pnima, then the kohen takes it and goes in. Now, where did they learn that from? I mean, the pasuk seems pretty clear, no? What did the pasuk say? V'nasan esekatores, ala esh. No, what are the next two words? Lifnei Hashem. When do you place the katores on the esh? What does the pasuk say? Lifnei Hashem, when you're in the presence of Hashem. Right? So did the Tzedukim think that lifnei Hashem means before you come to Hashem? Is that how they read it? There was another pasuk that they looked at. Because the pasuk says, you look at the next paragraph, HaTorah mazhiras Aaron HaKohen. The Torah warns Aaron HaKohen, you can't come into the Kodesh Kadashim whenever you want, as we mentioned yesterday. Rather, you have to come in a particular way. And what does the pasuk say? Look at the pasuk. Daber al Aaron achicha, v'al yavo b'chol eis el HaKodesh mibeis laparochas. Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Aaron, your brother, that he can't come into the Holy of Holies whenever he wants. Look at the next few words. Ki be'anan era'e al hakapores. What does that mean? With a cloud, what? I will appear on the kapores, on the cover of the aron. So what does that mean, with a cloud? In a cloud. How did the Tzedukim read that pasuk? The Tzedukim read it, you should come in already with a cloud in your hand. You should come in with a flaming pan of ketores already in your hand. Mashmaos ha-pasuki, the implication of the pasuk is, she'aron lo yichanes al kodesh kadashim b'choleis. Aaron, you're not allowed to come into the kodesh kadashim as you see fit. B'chol pam shu rotze, whenever you want. V'hasiba lakachi, and the reason that is, and this is the correct way to read the pasuk, ki be'anan era'e al hakaporos. The anan in this pasuk is not referring to the cloud of smoke from the burning incense, but it's the appearance of Hashem that's being described as a cloud. Like the cloud that was over Har Sinai, or the cloud over Avram and Sarah's tent. Kevan sha'amud ha'anan shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That pillar of cloud, namely that Hashras HaShechina, nimsa sham begilei al kaporah. So you can't just walk into Kodesh Kadashim whenever you want. You can't just come before the king whenever you want. Because the presence of Hashem is found in the Kodesh Kadashim. Hashem invites us in on Yom Kippur, or invites the Kohen Gadol in on Yom Kippur. But the Tzedukim read the Pasuk as follows. Ulam HaTzedukim Pirshu Esamilim, the Tzedukim read the Pasuk, Ki Be'anan Era'e El HaKapores, you should only enter Kodesh Kadashim if you've already have a cloud in your hand, if you have burning Ketores in your hand. Shall a Kohen Gadol lichanes pnima al Kodesh Kadashim be'anan, that the Kohen Gadol has to walk into the room with a cloud. Kasher anan ketores nimtza biyado. After the ketores is already burning. Okay? So machlokes number one between the, again, the Chachmei Yisrael and the Tzedukim, is how do you do the ketores? Where does one place the incense upon the fiery coals? According to the Chachmei Yisrael, it's the first in the pasuk. Place the ketores ala esh lifnei Hashem. First you go in, then you put down the pan, then you place the ketores on the pan in front of the aron. According to the Tzedukim, no. Kiba anan era el akaporis. When you come into the room, it already has to be with a cloud. So you have to prepare the ketores outside, get it burning, and then you walk into the room. Yeah, Jack.
It says be anan, so it's kind of like... So they think that the Kohen has to walk.
That's right, he comes in with a cloud. That's right.
But it's like in a cloud or with a cloud?
In with, yeah.
That's how, what would be the purpose of it if it's, the Kohen has to be surrounded by
meaning
the cloud?
Meaning, what the Tzedukim are saying, and this is really not the approach Lubavitcher redevelops here, but there's a beautiful piece of Torah from Rav Moshe Wolfson, Shlita, on this, where he says the Machlokas is really like this. You know, if you go to a restaurant, right? So you have the chever in the kitchen, right? Who are preparing the food. Now the kitchen's chaotic. The kitchen's wild. The kitchen's a big mess, right? But the waiter who brings the food, who brings the dish out to the table, if you're in a fancy restaurant, right? The chef in the kitchen's gonna have. He's wiping his greasy hands all over his jacket, and you know there's stuff all over the place. There's dirty dishes, right? That's all. You know, behind closed doors. But when you present the dish, right, when the waiter comes out to present the dish, so the waiter looks nice, the dish looks nice, everything is very presentable. So the Tzedukim thought, and we hear the Svara, you're going to bring the ingredients and then start cooking in front of Hashem? Prepare it, and then come in ready to serve. That was the approach of the Tzedukim. And the frum shot, the Torah dik pshat is what? No, we come in and we cook it in front of Hashem. Why? Because Rav Wolfson says, because it's not a fancy restaurant. Right? It's a husband and wife who are cooking a meal together. Right? It's not some formal presentation where I'm trying just to make it look, you know, nicer than it really is. The Tzedukim, there was a certain detachment, like I'm bringing something to Hashem as an outsider. But the Frum way, the way the Torah really wanted is we come in and we prepare it in front of Hashem, and Hashem enjoys watching us prepare the dish. That's the general mahalach that Rav Wolfson takes in the machlokas between the Tzedukim and the Chachmei Yisrael, which is a beautiful idea. Okay, and it's certainly, you'll see, it's related to what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is saying here. Okay, but this is the machlokas. Right, it makes sense. You come, you right, and we also, you know, the different when we remove the ashes from the mizbeach, right, going there also, you know, and Chazal make that point that the clothing that you cook in is not the same clothing that the waiter serves in. Chazal make exactly that point when it comes to removing the dirty ashes from the top of the mizbeach, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I want you to come into Kodesh Kadashim, and let's you know cook the meal together, so to speak." It's a beautiful image. It's a beautiful, intimate image of husband and wife, you know, being together, as opposed to the formalities of, you know, being served in a restaurant, where all the preparation takes place behind the kitchen, you know, behind the closed doors, and then the waiter brings out a nicely prepared dish. On the one hand, that seems more appropriate, but that shows a certain lack of connection that the Tzedukim, you know, represent. Okay? So that's machlokas number one between the Tzedukim and the Chachmei Yisrael. Okay, go to the bottom paragraph on the page. There's another machlokas. And by the way, he points out here, he says, and this machlokas, by the way, caused, if you ever learned Mishnayos Yoma, Maseches Yoma, you know that during Bayis Sheni there was terrible corruption with the Kohanim Gedolim. To such a degree that they used to make them take, yeah, they tied a rope around them, they also used to make the Kohen Gadol take a shvua. They would force him to take a shrua. It says in Yoma, take a shrua. They would be saying, Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol. We command upon you to take a shrua that you're not going to be Shalot Tishamed Davar Mikol Masha Marnulucha. You're not going to deviate. Right? You're not going to change anything. No one was there to see what the Kohen Gadol is really up to. Right? So they made him swear not to what? Not to do it in the tzeduki way, but to do it in the frum way. And then the mefarshim were all busy trying to explain, well, if I'm a tzeduki, what? I'm, you know, maybe I'll swear falsely and then still do it the tzeduki. How does taking a shrua? People are so scared of taking a shrua. That's a general Torah worldview that people don't like to swear falsely. But the Mishnah says everyone was crying. The Kohen Gadol would start to cry, and the Shulchei Beis Din would start to cry. The Kohen Gadol would start to cry because he said, I'm suspected of being a tzeduki. Right? And the Shulchei Beis Din would start to cry because they said, you know, Choshed B'Ksherim, a person who suspects an innocent person. Also, Chazal say very bad things. So we feel bad that we have to force you to take this rule, but there's a lot of, you don't know who's who. There's a lot of bad guys sneaking into high positions in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a bought position at certain points of Bayis Sheni. Okay? So this was a fundamental machlokas, again, that permeates sort of the centerpiece of Avodas Yom Kippurim, the entering into Kodesh Kadashim and the offering of the Ketores Lifnai V'Lifnim. Yeah.
The Tzedukim had their like interesting or corrupt like point of like how to do this all, but if it was done in a way that was like the way Hashem wanted it, clearly why they deviated from that? They ever like practiced their ways of doing these things?
It's a good question. Right? Meaning what you know?
If they saw it work, why would
right,
they not
right, right? That's an interesting question. Right? Did they not see, or did they see, or did they not see that you know? That their approach was leading to Kohanim Gedolim being replaced every year, dropping dead, and the you know the Torah tradition was the correct way to do it. It's interesting. I mean, I haven't thought about the question, but a Baal Mussar would answer that question. You see how a person can become so gung ho about their shita that they'll follow it through, even you know they held this is the way, and we're going to do it regardless. The person gets blinded by their you know by their understanding of things. Okay, but there's a second machlokas about the Ketores. Look at the bottom paragraph. Ha'alacha hi ka'amor sha'koin ha'yamaniach as a Ketores b'soch kodesh kadashim k'nilmad mi'apasuk v'nasin as a Ketores lefnei Hashem. Good. So that's what, so the halacha is obviously the way that we do it. You place it on the fiery coals lefnei Hashem. Ulam yeshnan shtei deus b'chazal keitzud hu maniach osa. But there was a second question, not really a machlokas between the tzedukim and the Chachmei Yisrael, but a question that the Gemara explores. So how, in what way should the Kohen Gadol place the Ketores upon the fiery coals? What are the options? Well, he could put it on a little bit at a time, in which case it will kind of be burnt up a little bit at a time, and it'll actually burn more quickly that way. Because if you sprinkle a little bit on at a time, it'll get burnt up, it'll get burnt up, it'll get burnt up. Or he could try to put like a huge pile of incense on top of the fire, and then it's going to take some time for the fire to actually burn through it. Right? Like a person who, you know, if you have a big log in a fire, right, it's going to take a while for it to catch, as opposed to little twigs, which will kindle more readily. So the question in Chazal was, how do you do it? Ha'im mefazra al gabi gachalim, two lines from the bottom, should he scatter it over the coals? Should he spread it out? Hakoyin mefazer ot ot esakatoris al gavid gecholim. Should he little by little spread it out, sprinkle it in such a way that the katoris haisan is refes maher, which will actually cause it to burn more quickly by spreading it out thinly across the fiery coals? Vaha oshan hayim maher la alos, which will cause the cloud to ascend more quickly. O Shema, turning to page 251. Oshema tsoivra, or maybe he should pile it up. Maybe he should put the whole pile right down on the coals. Hakoin hayamaniach me'ein gal echad shel ketores, one big mound of ketores on top of the pan. Kedei sheyikach zman aruch yoser ad shaketores tisarif me'agachalim. It'll take a longer time for the ketores to start to burn from the hot coals, and that's gonna kind of you know slow down the ascent of the cloud. Of the ashan, of the smoke. Okay? Discussion in the Gemara. What's the halacha? The halacha is tzovra, that the Kohen Gadol puts a pile. Halacha negvash tzovra. The halacha is that the Kohen Gadol makes a pile. Va'asiba lakachi, ki miderech kavod hu sha'kohen yishaheb avodasa. We want the process to happen more slowly, because we don't want the Kohen to just run into Kodesh Kedashim, quickly produce a cloud, and then exit the room. We want the Kohen to have to stand there waiting for the cloud to slowly appear. And that's a sign of honor. Why? Min hakavod hu, shehakohen lo yimaher ba'avodaso b'kodesh hakadoshim, v'yetze miyad hachutza. We don't want the Kohen to quickly finish the avoda, you know, check it off his list, and then run out of the room. Ela alav lahaniach gal shekatoras al gabe hamachta. We want him to put a big pile of incense on top of the fiery pan. Kach shu yamtin meshech zman, that it should take, it should take a period of time, a prolonged period of time. Acha oshan yale, until the smoke starts to rise up. Rak oz hu yetze achutza, and then he'll leave the room. However, what's the idea of, again, you know, the Kohen Gadol taking his time, so to speak, in the Kodesh Kadash? So I want to just share with you a quick story that's found in the biography of Rav Meir Zlotowitz, Zatzal. Rav Zlotowitz from Artscroll. So in the biography of Rav Zlotowitz describes his relationship with the Rebbe of Kapishnitz, the Kapishnitz Rebbe. And he tells an amazing story. He says, and I'll read it to you, one year after they finished baking matzahs, the Rebbe circulated among the workers at the matzah bakery, thanking each one for their devoted work. The Rebbe noticed that a Hasidic young man who worked as a kneader, right, kneading the dough, appeared quite destitute. The Rebbe handed him several bills, a tip in honor of the approaching Yom Tov. The worker gratefully accepted the money. A few days later, the Rebbe announced that he was going back to the matzah bakery to bake Erev Pesach matzos, according to his custom. And the young Hasidic men joined him once again. After they finished baking, the Rebbe again sought out the young kneader and approached him with a wad of bills. Here, l'kavod Yom Tov, the Rebbe said. This time, the young man protested. The Rebbe hot shoin yoitze given. The Rebbe has already fulfilled his obligation. Right? And he says, Rebbe, you gave me money. You gave me money like a couple days ago. You already took care of me for Yom Tov. The Kapishitz, the Rebbe, looked at him. Ich bin nicht gekommen auf die Welt. I didn't come down to this world, the Rebbe said, Yoitze Suzain, just to fulfill my obligation. The Rebbe says, I'm not looking to check a box. The Rebbe, you did it already. You're Yoitze. The Rebbe said, No. Ich bin nicht gekommen in die Welt. I didn't come down to this world just to be Yoitze Suzain. I'm not looking just to, it's such an important hashkafa in life. I didn't come to this world just to be able to say, check the box. Did I learn Torah? Yeah, I learned a little Torah. Did I put on tefillin? Yeah, poor tefillin. Davened a little, gave a little tzedakah, ate a little matzah, kept a little Shabbos. A Jew doesn't come to this world to finish his job working for Hashem so I can get back to all the other things I actually enjoy doing. And that's part, I think that's part of this message. We haven't seen Lubavitcher Rebbe's explanation yet, which we're about to see. I think that's part of this message. Kohen Gadol, we're not looking to just get it over with as quickly as we can. Now you'll say, of course not, this is Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. And yet we're still concerned that even the Kohen Gadol, because he has such a busy day on Yom Kippur, he's got to do so many things that he's just checking boxes. So we're like, whoa, slow down. You're in Kodesh Kadashim. Stand there for a minute, you know? Chuckle a little bit as the smoke slowly emerges from within the 11 spices of the Ketores. Take a second to realize where you are. It's a very powerful idea. Not to just be Yaitzizan, to go your whole life checking boxes. It's a very, very important idea. But now the Lubavitcher Rebbe is going to explain to us what were these two machloksim. Again, not two machloksim between the Tzedukim and the Chachmei Yisrael. One machloksim between the Tzedukim and the Chachmei Yisrael. And then one discussion in the Gemara about what is the right way to place the Ketores on the pan. So look what the Rebbe says. Okay, on page 251, right after that little box, that little square. Mashma'usa ha'pnimis shal machlokes bin Tzedukim v'chachmei Yisrael. What is the inner intention? What is the message of this machlokes between the Tzedukim and the Chachmei Yisrael? V'chein shal shtei hadeos, and these two opinions of the Gemara, should we spread it out over the coals, or should we pile it up? So says the Rebbe, where it's underlined, Ketores misameles es ha'avoda va'azichuch she'olam haza. Ketores, like the very word itself implies, Ketores, right, is similar to the word to bind together, to be makasher things. And the Ketores, this very precise combination of spices, represents the avoda of a person. And this is something the Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke about all the time, but it never gets old. And it's a big chizuk. And it's very much, you know, if you're looking for a chassidus that's in line with the values of Yeshiva University, I always like, it's such a funny thing, because if you learn Torah's Chabad, it's all you know, you can call it Torah Madri, you can just call it like, you know, Torah and Olam Haza, call it whatever you want, right? But the avoda is to be mezachich olam hazeh, not to ignore the world, to try to purify, to elevate the world. Velo rak ezichuch divrei hachulin, and that doesn't mean just sanctifying the mundane, so to speak. Elagamis advar hanechusim yoser, but to lift up even the lowest of things, to try to bring a tikkun to everything in the world. Bein echad asar samamane haktores, among the 11 spices of the ketores, hayagam samaman b'shem mor. One of them was called mor. However, what was mor? Shemekoro hu michaya tmeya. It came from the congealed blood of a not kosher animal. Vaktores misameles es harayon. So you're telling me, what, this is ketores? This not kosher animal blood is going to be part of the offering in the holiest place on the holiest day by the holiest person. Ketores represents the idea. Shegam davar nochus kamo hamur, chayat meya. Even something which comes from an impure creature, yesh lahalos ulezachechosa, can be brought before Hashem, can be lifted up, can be purified. Lakachas davar ko yaru, to take something which seems to be so detached from Hashem, so low, so foreign. V'lasos nimenu chelak mi'avodas beis hamikdash, to make it part of avodas beis hamikdash. And on Yom Kippur, to make it the centerpiece of avodas beis hamikdash. Chelak mi'avodas haketores. Milvadzos, more than that, says the Rebbe. Miktores hayu echad asar samamanin. There are 11 spices of the ketores. However, the number 11 is the number of the Sitra Achra. 10 is Kedusha. 10 is a minion, a davar shebe Kedusha. 10 are the 10 Sphiros. It says in Sefer Yetzirah, 10, but not 11. 11 is Sitra Achra. Sitra Achra. There are numerous examples in the Torah of 11 being associated with Esau, being associated with negativity. 11 is Haman and his 10 sons. 11 is a bad number. 11 is a deviation from Kedusha. Hamispar 11 romez al kochos haklipa. It represents the klipa, it represents Sitra Achra. It's the tzad ha'acher. It's the dark side, so to speak. It's the hepech tzad ha'kedusha. It's the Sitra Achra, it's the opposite. And yet dafka, the ketores, is what? Is these 11 spices. It has mur, which comes from a non-kosher animal. It has the chelbana, which has a disgusting smell. And all the Purim Torah, chelbana is gematria Haman, right? Haman and his 10 sons. 11 represents the coverings of the Mishkan, made from Seir Izim. Right? You think about Esav, you think about Sar Lazazel. There's all sorts of negativity connected to this number 11. And yet dafka, we take that and we bring it into Kodesh Kadashim. And we do it slowly. We're not rushing through it. Says the Rebbe, Haktoras haktoras v'beis hamikdash misameles shegam es haklipos, that even the negativity, yesh lezachich ulahalos asam lekedusha, that can be brought into Kedusha. Stop looking at everything in this world as your enemy. Look at it as an opportunity to mikadesh shem shamayim. Says the Rebbe at the bottom of the page, HaTorah mora lanu b'parsha zo kama hora. So therefore the Torah reveals to us several very critical teachings. Hadavar harishon, the first thing is Val yavo b'chol eisa lakodesh. Look how the Lubavitcher Rebbe learns Val yavo b'chol eisa lakodesh. The Kohen Gadol can't come into Kedusha whenever he wants. Or as the Rebbe's reading it, a person can't expect to just stay in sort of that area of Kedusha my whole life. I'm not going to actually live, to use Sfira terminology, I'm not going to live in a cave with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son, learning Torah Yom V'Laila and surviving off of carob and a stream of water. I'm not going to put my bed in the Beis Medrash. Right? There's a good chance I'm going to work, and there's a good chance I'm going to work with people who have different values than me. That's a good chance that many of you will. Halavai, you should have your own company. Halavai, you should have all Jewish employees. Halavai, you should never work on Chol HaMoed. You'll make me very proud. But some of you have summer internships where you're going to be working with people who are the antithesis of Kedusha. Right? Or certainly don't share your hashkafa, your values, your worldview. So, al yavo b'chol eis al kodesh. Right? Kohen Gadol, even you can't come, you can't live in Kodesh Kadashim. Tafkido shel Yehudi hi lo lios kol zman b'kodesh Kadashim pnima. It's such a Lubavitcher way of looking at things. Right? The Torah says, I don't want you living in Kodesh. Okay, I understand. Once in a while, you want to have an all-in experience, a Yom Kippur experience. I get it. Dressed in white, fasting, you become an angel for a day. But guess what? The reality is you're not an angel, you're a person. And that's a good thing. Hashem likes people. Hashem gave the Torah to people, not to angels. Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, like the Kotzker Rebbe said. I want you to be Anshe Kodesh, human beings who are holy. Menschlich Heilig, human and holy. So you can't live in the Kodesh Kadashim all the time. Ela alav liyos gam b'chutz. You need to go outside Kodesh Kadashim. That's most of our life. But you could see that as an opportunity to serve Hashem everywhere. V'gam la'asos es avodaso. Yehudi tzarech liyos ba'olam hazeh, amenas lezachech ulevarosa. Hashem put you in this world not to run away from the world, but to engage the world and to elevate the world. And therefore, says the Rebbe in the last two lines on the page, 251, Gam kasher hu nichtas me'es le'es. And even when you go into Kodesh Kadashim, even in your most elevated moments, where you say, forget the world, I want to just be with Hashem, in the holiest and purest and most detached, you know, way from Olam Hazeh, azai bizos yavo aron el kodesh. There's a very specific recipe by which, very specific instructions and rules by which the Kohen Gadol enters Kodesh Kadashim. HaTorah matziva kama tanoim. There are very specific rules that one must follow to enter into Kodesh Kadashim. Turn to the last page. Hadeya Omeres. Logic dictates, one might think, if I have to deal with Ketores, I should deal with it what? On the outside. I don't want to spend too much time being busy with Ketores inside. Sha'isuk im ha-Ketores. If Ketores represents, again, 11 spices, it represents Sitra Achra. It's made up of the foul-smelling Chelbana, it's made up of the Chaya, Tamea, Mor. If I have to engage in Olam Hazeh, Tzricha le'asos mi'chutz la'kodesh. At least do your dirty work on the outside. V'ilu b'kodesh p'nima ein makum la'asok b'zichuch u'bira olam agashmi. At least, you know, Get it burning on the outside. Right? If you have to make an avoda out of it, so at least make the avoda on the outside. That way when you bring it in, it looks respectable. Yoni, I can finally lend you that book, I promise. I finished it. Rabbi Shiner biography. In the Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner biography, one of his Talmidim came to visit him one time. And he said, Rabbi, I'm embarrassed to come to you like this. He wasn't dressed, you know, the way Ben Yeshiva would be dressed, especially if he's coming to visit his Rosh Yeshiva. He didn't have his hat, he didn't have his jacket. He said, I'm a little embarrassed, I came to you looking so... So the Rebbe said, I would so much rather you come to visit me without a hat and jacket than to not come because you don't have your hat and jacket. Come in, right? Hashem says, Kohen Gadol, come in. The Kohen Gadol said, I feel bad, let me at least, you know... Like if you're bringing some, like, you know, some not religious friend to meet like a big rabbi, so like you tell your friend, like, you know, tuck in your shirt before we go in, you know, like make yourself look presentable. You don't want to go in the room and then start like tucking your shirt in. Yeah. So the Kohen Gadol thinks, you know, we would think, okay, like if I have to bring in the Ketores, at least let me turn it into like a nice fiery cloud before I bring it in, so it's not obvious that these are made up of all sorts of strange things. V'ilu b'kodesh p'nima, but once I'm already inside, ein makum lasok b'zichu hubira olam agashvi. I don't want to be busy with, you know, then kind of cleaning it up and getting it going. And yet, the Torah approach is the opposite. Kevan shegam kasher nimtzam b'kodesh kadashim b'sheha kedusha v'hasalus. The message of the Torah is dafka, when you're in the height, in your holiest place. You want to be in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's cave, you want to be detached from the burdens of this world. Hashem says, no, don't forget the Ketores there. I want you to be able to look at the spices and see, ah, this is a chaya tamea, ah, this is the foul smelling chalvana, ah, these are 11 spices. Hashem says, I want you in your Kodesh Kadashim to still be connected to that. I don't want you to pretend that that doesn't exist. Aleinu Ladas, I want you to remember that the matara, that the goal of a person in this world, Shematara Seinu Hi, La'asok Bebir Vezicha Ha'olim Agashmi. I don't want you to detach from the world, not even in Kodesh Kadashim. Gam Sham Aleinu Lahaktir Ketores, I want you to bring the Ketores there, to be involved in the Avoda of Ketores there. However, what was the mistake? Says the Bava Trevi, our parsha is called Acharei Mos, because it's a throwback to what? To Nadab and Avihu who died, the Bnei Aaron who died in Parsha Shmini. Acharei Mos, Shnei Bnei Aaron. And what did they do wrong? What they wanted to do was to be so holy that they were detached from this world. Chetam shel Nadav Avihu, says the Rebbe in the next paragraph, the sin of Nadav and Avihu, the Bnei Aaron, shel sham oinsham nikras aparsha, the very name of our parsha, signals a warning to us. Acharei mos shnei Bnei Aaron. What did they do wrong? Bekarvasam lifnei Hashem vayamusu. What do you mean? They got close to Hashem, so they died? What's wrong with being close to God? Chetam hayu bakach. The mistake of Nadav and Avihu was Shehem iskarvu el Hashem isalu l'madregos ruchni eskavos. They wanted to reach pure spiritual levels. Viznatku me'olam hazeh. They didn't want to be bothered by their brother who was off the derech. They didn't want to be bothered by their cousin who was not religious. They didn't want to be bothered by figuring out how to engage in physical activities in a holy way. I wanted to be done with that. I want to just be an angel. And Hashem says, I don't need angels. I have plenty of angels in Shemayim. I didn't send you to this world to be an angel. I want you to be a holy human being. But I want you to know that you're a human being. Hey, lo ratu lachazor elav. Ukutotza mikach ve'amusu. They didn't want to leave. They wanted to be lifnei Hashem. So Hashem says, you want to be lifnei Hashem? Fine, so come back to Shemayim. But I can't have you. You can't be in this world and choose to be kulo lifnei Hashem. It doesn't work like that. They abandoned Olam Hazeh. And that's not the goal. And I'm so comforted by this Torah. It goes back to what we learned in the, you know, in Yana Shel Torah Sachasidus. Right? The avodah of a Jew is to be able to elevate this world. That's the ultimate goal. Hamatara Shalishama HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hamid Osad Olam Hazeh. The true inner intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu placing of this in this world. He Kadesh Shanasalo Dira B'tachtonim. Hashem says, I want to be God over human beings in this world. Lo lihit not take me'olam, not to detach from the world. El levarer ulizachechosa. I want you to purify it, to elevate it. Lasos mimenu dira l'kadosh baruch hu. Make me a dwelling place, an abode in this world. Kach gam kasher anu nimtzam b'soch kodesh kadashim. To such a degree that even when you're in kodesh kadashim, don't forget the world. Don't forget the ketores. Don't forget the things that are broken and need tikkun. Gam sham anu tzrichim lizkor samatara shelanu. Gam bekoidesh pnima. Dafka when you're in there. V'nasana sekatoras aleish lifnei Hashem. Gam kishenim tzam lifnei Hashem tzrichim laniach sekatoras l'gabeish. When you're standing before Hashem, you need to still be thinking, how can I take some ketoras, these strange mix of spices, and elevate them before Hashem? I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed at these spices. I'm proud to be able to elevate these spices. And more than that, what was the second halacha? Yisera mizo. How should he burn the ketores? Should he spread it out so it burns quickly, get it over with, b'yitz zayin, or should he put it in a pile and then stand there davening over it, right? Working through the process, appreciating the process, not just trying to check the box. Gam kasher nimtzam lifnei Hashem azay avodas haketores hazo tzricha le'asos b'mesinos. It needs to be done slowly, with patience. Ba'arichus. Biasodios. I want to do it in a way that's thoughtful, that's mindful, that's attentive, that's a little bit drawn out because I'm not just trying to get it over with. Lo b'chipazanum mehiros. Ha'ikar letzeis yidei chova. I don't want to just be yaitzizayin, like the Kapishnitz Rebbe said. I want to be a thoughtful person. I want to be aware of what I'm doing. I don't want to, like, you know, do this idea in just some way of checking a box. I want to believe this is a real thing. I want to daven over this. Elevating Olam Hazeh. That's not a way to make us feel better because we're so human. The Baal Shem is saying that is why Hashem made us and put us in this world and gave us His Torah and made us people, not angels, and gave the Torah to people, not angels. Kefi shehuzkar kodem, second to last paragraph. Ha'alacha hi sheyesh la'aniach ha'sakatoras ala esh b'machta lo ba'ofen shel mefazra, not by spreading it out, that the Torah should burn very quickly. Rather, we said the halacha is tzoivra, he piles it up. He piles it up because he doesn't want to get it over with. He wants to be able to enjoy the process. Concludes the Rebbe in the last three lines. Kasher nifal b'derech zo. When a person works in this way, na'asok b'zichuch u'bir ha'olam, with an eye towards purifying and uplifting the world, of refining the world. Na'ale es ha'ketoras. In doing so, he truly, what, lifts up the Ketores. These 11 spices, the Sitra Achra, manifest in such a strange and holy way. And therefore, Gam Kasher Anu Omdim Lefnei Hashem, and therefore, even when a person is standing Lefnei Hashem, Nizka, he's Zocha to what? Ki Ba'anan Eira'el Akaporas. He believes in his ability to think about Olam Hazeh, even when he's in his most lofty places. And in doing so, Nizka Legiloi Shechinaso Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a karav mamish. All right, we should be zeicha. We should be zeicha to believe in this. It's mamish. You have to. I'm telling you, it's not. It's so easy to learn a Torah like this and think the Rebbe is just trying to meet people where they are. No, he's not. He's reminding us of the truth of what Hashem wants from us. It's not a bidyevin. The only area it gets confusing in is like, you know, okay, so what? So is it what? It's more. It's better. I should. So if I have the opportunity to learn this summer, to take a summer internship. Right? So I should what? I should dafka, you know, take the summer internship. Maybe the Beis Medrash is not a good place to be. Maybe the Beis Medrash takes me away from the mission statement of the world. So obviously no one's saying that. You need to be able to go into Kodesh Kadashim. Right? But the Rebbe is saying, let's be honest. This is what the Baal Shem Tov was screaming about. The reality is most people, most of our lives involve a lot of Olam Hazeh activity. So is it all b'di'eved, or is it l'chadchila? And the Rebbe is saying, all the things that I engage in this world, it's a l'chadchila. It's an opportunity to be metaken. It's an opportunity to be maila. It's an opportunity to be mezachich. Alright, so we should be zocha. We should be zocha to fix the whole world. To bring the gula shlema. Yes?
Is there a way for us to reconcile this with the more, I don't know what group you should associate with, but I guess just a not specifically inclined perspective where doing stuff in this world is together and where it really all is.
So some of that is, you know, it's a good question. I mean, you're touching on a fundamental machlokas of Hasidus verses, right?
Yeah.
So part of it, and part of this voice finds expression even within Hasidus, right? Part of it is, this is a very nice, you know, this is like a very, you know, idealistic way of looking at things. But let's be honest, most people who go to the world are not going to be able to maintain this holy perspective. That's sort of the defeatist way to look at it. Like, it's not realistic. Most people are not going to be able to be thinking about Hashem the entire time that they're engaged in Gashmias. Let's be honest, right? And therefore, let's try to avoid it as much as we can. And that's a voice, again, that's a voice that you find even within Tzadikim, from Chassidus. The Imre Emes said, I think I mentioned this once, the Imre Emes said that there's a halacha that if you have a baby boy who, God forbid, dies from a bris milah, right, and his sibling also has a bris milah, so the third brother is exempt from bris milah. Right? It's assumed to be too dangerous for that family because of, you know, whatever, the body doesn't clot properly, and It could be, so the halacha recognizes that something which is holy could be dangerous. If there's a pattern that this is not working, then it's not working. So the Imre Emes once said that in terms of people's engagement in the world. Like, if you see that most people who go to the world end up getting swallowed up by the world, when they leave the Beis Medrash and they go to the world, so then they throw away all their Torah values. So if we see that that's the pattern, so then it's no longer, you know, and even if in some idealistic perspective that would be the best way to be, but it's unrealistic. It's killing too many Jews. Too many Jews get swallowed up by, you know, by Wall Street, for lack of a better example. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe, of course, believed in trying to uplift the world, and he was going to fight for that till his dying breath. And that meant making Chabad houses all over the world, and that meant teaching non-Jews the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, and that meant doing everything he could to spread Elokus, because he believed that the mission, if this is the mission statement, then it has to be possible. Hashem wouldn't set us up on a mission that's doomed to fail. So again, maybe the, you know, the more, again, I don't know what to call that voice of opposition, part of it's based on, let's be realistic, this is too idealistic, it's unrealistic, right? Part of it is based on a Torah truth, that Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. But you also have to, again, you have to face the fact that most people are not sitting and learning Torah all day. So if you're not learning Torah all day, Chassidus gives you a way to make every moment of your life meaningful. And that's part of why I'm so attracted to it, because I think it's a language that the average person, and that's what the Baal Shem Tov was trying to do, to make sure that the average person saw himself as a lichatchila worker for Hashem, not just the intellectual elite who were, so to speak, representing the rabbinate, but he wanted the average water schlepper to schlep his water l'shem Shemayim, and to see that as a holy avoda. That's what the Baal Shem Tov represented. Yeah.
He explained what the Chachamim did with their pasuk and what they did with the Tzedukim's pasuk. We saw what the Tzedukim did with their pasuk.
Right.
What did the Tzedukim do with Lifnei
Hashem? Right, so I alluded to it. I think they would say Lifnei Hashem means before you come to it. Right?
Before.
Right? Lifnei Hashem, before you come to Hashem, then you have to already...
Doesn't a better word than mean like Kodem? Like Lifnei doesn't necessarily usually mean...
Right, it doesn't mean prior to, although sometimes it could.
It's also interesting how people are suddenly now giving darshans when that's not their whole point, is not darshan.
Yeah, that's always happens. You know, you try to be so literal that you end up making your own Torah Shema path.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the, you know, that's the irony of the tzedukim and the carrots. Okay, friends, we should be zeichet to make that dear b'tachtonim that Hashem is dreaming of. We should make a beautiful world. Okay.